that are on the website. Remember my assignment when I left?
No, good.
That's the ongoing one, but do you remember the assignment that I left with you? No!
No!
No! No! You do, you do. Yes! 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 That was the assignment. Go back. You didn't do it! See? All right, so 20 demerits for each one. Oh, that's so sad. I see how it is. All right. And I knew it. I mean, I told you, right? That was going to be hard to listen to this guy, you know, over and over again. But I did it. I did it. I did take some time and listen to the sermons. I think I got back to March or so. While I was, of course, taking glue off, you know, from the walls, right? The wallpaper glue. You know, I had time. But I was glad to hear those sermons because there were things in there that really spoke to me. When Nestor mentioned the analogy of the Tower of Babel, who remembers that? Who was here, right? And how that can be compared to Pentecost. And the fact that the aim of those who were building the tower is not to build the tower, but to build the city. Remember that? But we always focus on the tower for some reason. Do you remember what he said? Right? Because the tower symbolizes what?
Power.
Power and?
Control.
Control. Interesting. So that's where our focus goes, right? But we don't really put too much stock in the fact that there is a city that is the one that is being built. And sometimes our churches also build these cities with towers. So I thought that was interesting, and he had a word that challenged you and me, panoptic, right? You know, the panoptic view of the tower that you can have see everybody even though people don't see you.
Right.
So I thought that was important insight. And he challenged the congregation to look at Pentecost as an example, right, of what can happen. Right? Instead of being insulated, of becoming us against the world, be us in the world. Right? Regardless of culture, regardless of language, regardless of all the differences that we have in our culture today. And then we heard a little bit about Rhonda's sermon, and Rhonda's sermon was interesting too. You know, she had me at the taco place, you know. I mean, everything stopped when she says, I love tacos, and that's, you know, I that's it. I don't need to hear. But, you know, with all the languages of love, I loved how she put that, you know. I want a taco, you know, I want to embrace you as a taco. And I mean, it was really cool. So I invite you to hear it again, even if you were here. But really, rubbing someone's feet as a way of serving, as a way of following God, is the stuff of feeding the soul. Right? And that stuck with me. So this leads to the theme that I think have been coming up and reverberating. And again, I encourage you to go to the website. It's a little bit tricked up now. The way that you go to listen to the sermons is even easier. You can listen right at the website. I mean, there's no excuse now. All right? But go and hear back. You know, when you're cooking, you might just put your telephone right on the speaker and just listen. I think it's interesting just to go back and to hear what God has been talking about. And the theme that came up is the leading of the Spirit. The leading of the Spirit of God in our lives. And I think, of course, that's all tied together. One thing is for sure. Without the Spirit of God manifesting among us, working within and through us, we would not have a chance in this world. I'm going to repeat that. Without the Spirit of God working within and through us, working and manifesting among us, we would not have a chance in this world. And regardless of what your political, theological, or sociological perspective may be, we would not have a chance in this world without God's Spirit present in it. And I think it's good to think about that, because if God was not present in this world, it would be as chaotic as it was before the beginning.
Right.
Just think about it. You think it's chaotic now? If God wasn't present, it would be even worse. So now and today, we're going to read about one aspect of the presence of the Spirit of God. And it's wrapped up in our behavior in the context of healthy living and community. And we're going to hear now from Galatians 6, and we're going to start in verse 7. I think it'll be up here. And if you would like to pull out the Bible in the pew and read from there, I'll be jumping in a few of these texts. And even if I don't, again, it'll be that palpable thing with the book, right, that sometimes we miss. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow for your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us grow weary in doing, and let's not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up." Did you hear that?
Again.
Okay, I'll repeat that. Verse 9. "Let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up." So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. Verse 11. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I, and I think this is the verse that we need to think about. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. And as for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Let us pray. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that your presence, your Spirit, speak to our hearts. Amen. So once more, Paul comes up with a rule here. And you know how I think about rules, right?
Rebel.
I mean, he throws it in my face every time. I think that he does it specifically for me. I mean, rules bother me. I don't know. I'm just, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, whenever you place a rule in front of me, I mean, the first thing that I'm thinking is, how do I go around it? If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. And I wrote it in capital letters here, right? And I wrote it in capital letters because Paul does the same thing on his writing, right? You remember he said, you see that I'm using large letters here, you know, and in a time where papyrus was really expensive. I mean, he saw that it was worth the expense to write it in big letters. Sow to the Spirit, reap from the Spirit. Now, I would like for you to write down something. If you don't have a pencil or a pen, I'm sure there's one in front of you. Take a little piece of paper, a big yellow card, whatever is in front of you, regardless. And write down something. Write down one instance in the last few weeks when you have sowed to the flesh. Go ahead, it's all right. Think about it. I know it's not going to pop up immediately, but look back, you know, rewind the movie in your head, and just write down one time that you have sowed to the flesh. You know, if you don't know what that means, of course, is, you know, doing something just so that your flesh feels good. Now, under that, right? One instance when you have sowed to the Spirit. I did this exercise and I could not come up with one thing that I did, except this one little thing in the corner, in 2 weeks, not one thing. I was on vacation. And I thought that that's what vacation is. And when I thought about that, I had to grab a book. Now, because you're bold, I would like for you to share that with whoever is next to you.
Really?
You're looking back like, why, man, I wouldn't have written it down. I would have thought of something else. It's okay. If you can, please share that with someone.
Huh? instead of going first.
Oh my gosh.
Just one more minute. It's okay. If you can, it doesn't, you know, I won't give you any demerits for this exercise. All right. Now, this is the second part of the exercise. The second part of the exercise is to think how each one of those made you feel. I mean, how do you feel when you sow to the flesh?
For a second.
For a second? That feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
For a second. But I bet that the next instance, you're already looking for more.
Regret.
Now, as you analyze that, and I... Please, I'm just saying this because sometimes we sit on Sundays and we don't work things out, right?
Yeah.
But if you think about that, think about the feeling and how the feeling has anything to do with boasting. Mm. Did it make you feel proud of yourself? Did it make you... feel puffed up? Did it make you feel more connected with the world? Did it make you feel peace? See, I found that the issue with feelings is tricky. If we do things that make us feel good, is it self-serving? Is it selfish? And the next question, you know, I got a bunch of questions in my head. They just come like a list, right? But the next question that I consider is, you know, well, is it not only self-serving, but how does that relate with boasting? And of course, if we want to know how this relates to boasting, we better find out what boasting means. Mm-hmm. We think sometimes that we know, but I looked it up. To talk with excessive pride and self-satisfaction about one's achievements, possessions, or abilities. To talk with excessive pride. So to boast is not necessarily to talk with pride, right? It's not to be proud of what we do, but when we make it excessive, when we make it all about us, then we need to think if we're getting into that realm of boasting. Know that Paul calls the listeners to do not what feels good. Hello?
Right?
He calls them to do what is right and what is good. And we're talking about the realm of community here, right?
Right.
How we behave in community. He calls them to do what is right and what is good. Verse 9, so let us not grow weary in doing what is right. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let's work for the good of all. And especially for those of the family of faith. See, this ties directly with what Rhonda was talking about last week. Right? How is it that we communicate love to one another? And I am not criticizing, because I know that in this congregation there are many ways in which that is happening. The Message version says of that, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued by doing good. I like the way that is stated. So whenever we have an opportunity, what does that mean? Well, I'll translate. Whenever we are led by the Spirit. And here I am talking to you about this and analyzing my own actions and seeing how flawed I am. So please don't think that I am stating Paul's words to smack you upside the head. I'm hearing Paul's words myself. It's so easy for us to get into the groove of what the world offers that we do not consider what feeds the soul. Are you with me? Do you hear that?
Yes.
It's so easy for us to just sing the song with what's happening along and around us that we do not consider what feeds the soul. And sometimes we believe that Sunday is enough. And we fall into prey of that lie. Sunday is enough. You see, Rhonda's example was awesome because in her case, it was a voice, right, that spoke to her. A word that came to her. I would call that being a little crazy, but I know Rhonda. I already know she is. Rub the feet. See, we hear those things. We hear those things, and our first reaction is, that can't happen to me. I don't hear the word of God. I don't hear that voice. I don't hear those things. I don't get those messages. And the thing that happens right after that is that we question whether it's true or not. It's not that we're saying, why is it that I don't get those? It's just we question if it's true that it happened to somebody else. Rub the feet. You see, most of the time, the leading of the Spirit of God is not that direct. Most of the time, the leading of the Spirit of God is not a voice. Most of the time, the leading of the Spirit of God is a consistent, constant call into our lives. And God's saying, I'm present. I'm here. Do you see? Most of the time, God is saying through things that happen around us, is, I am alive. And I know you. I know what's going on in your heart. I know what's going on in your mind. Most of the time, the Spirit of God is just saying, I'm here, people. And I want you to relate to me. I yearn to speak with you. I want for you to be blessed. And we're like, yeah, right. I got other things to do right now. Please, we'll talk on Sunday. Is that okay? Can we just leave it for Sunday? And Sunday, we'll catch up, right? We'll have some coffee or something. And please understand, again, that I am not talking about you. If you're thinking about you, that's great. But I'm talking about what happens to me. This is real. So, how do I connect? What is clear is that for us to know that we are being prompted by the Spirit of God, we need to know the Spirit of God. Hello?
Yes,
you follow that, right?
Yes.
For us to be able to identify what the Spirit of God is like, we need to know what the Spirit of God is like. Because most of the time we're thinking that the Spirit of God is this not only supernatural thing, but is something that is unknowable. And true, there's a lot of things about the Spirit of God that I don't understand, but there are others that I can see. Right?
That's right.
If you want to know where to start, go to chapter 5 of Galatians. And on verse 16, somewhere around there, I think it's 19. Here. This is what happens. Let me make it big so I can see it. This is the contemporary English version. The actions that are produced by selfish motives are obvious. Note, selfish motives, right?
Mm-hmm.
In your version, maybe it's different, but think about this. Since they include sexual immorality, moral corruption, doing whatever feels good, idolatry, drug use, casting spells, hate, fighting, obsession, losing your temper, competitive opposition, conflict, selfishness, group rivalry, jealousy, drunkenness, partying, and other things like that. In your face, right? Now, that list is what is not like the Spirit of God. So if you can identify what's not like the Spirit of God, it's easier to identify what it's like. Right?
Yes.
The Spirit of God. So, I mean, it's there. Again, this is the contemporary English Bible. It's a little different from what we're used to. But I think it's important to hear something different from what we used to. Hear it in our own language. So, how do I do that? Well, it's definitely not asking your 10-year-old daughter or grandson what it is like to hear the Spirit of God. You want to ask God, what is that like? Right? Don't allow the idea that somebody else can explain it for me to take over the aim of asking God. If you want to know what the Spirit of God is like, ask God. And if you want to know how God works, ask God. And what better way to do that than immerse yourself in Scripture? What better way to do that than to talk to God through Scripture? What better way to do that than familiarize yourself with what Scripture says of how God operates in the world? I fall into this mistake of thinking that all the commentators in the world are going to explain that to me. Instead of asking myself, God, can you lead me into this understanding here? I mean, who do we have faith on? Is it those who have learned? Those who have studied? Those who have gone through the Word? Or do we have faith in God? Right? Can God reveal something to you?
Yes.
Hmm?
Absolutely.
Can God reveal something to you about God's self?
Yes.
Well, that's happened to me. Because my idea of God was that Santa Claus and God were the same people. Right? God, I want this. Can you give it to me? If you are God and you have all things, shouldn't you give it to me? Right? Because it's all about me. Because I'm the center. Right? I'm very special. That's what my mom told me. Right? So shouldn't you fulfill all my wants? Okay, but in on top of that, most important, and more important than that itself, to hear even God speaking to you, more important than that is your motivation. Mm-hmm. What is the motivation for that? Again, is it just to fulfill a need to know? Is it just to boast in yourself? Right? I think it was Simon that comes up to the disciples and says, I want that. What that is, you mean, yeah, you see, you hear people, I want to do that. But why? No, because you're doing it. It looks really super. I like to do that. But tell me why. No. Don't worry about it. Just give me what you got. Because I want it. You see, what is the motivation behind our interest? And listen how Paul explains it. Verse 14, chapter 6. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now, talk about being in between. I'm going to finish in about half an hour, so relax, guys. All right? Now, talk about being in between. I mean, think about these statements. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus, by which the world has been crucified to me. Right? The world is dead. Right?
Yep.
And I am dead to the world. What in the world does that mean? What in the world does that mean for me? What in the world does that mean, being crucified to the world and I mean, if there is any boasting, if that is, I have no selfish motivations. Because all I want is to be with God. You follow? That's my interpretation. That's the Ruben Rodriguez interpretation. You can find it in the Ruben Rodriguez Bible that I haven't finished yet. Now, this is the context of what's happening when Paul is speaking. The Pharisees and the Judaizers, those who were speaking to the believers, all wanted just to lift themselves up. They wanted to be visible. And they were not doing things for the glory of God, but for their own. I mean, think of it. No, you need to be circumcised. or you need to have something here hanging on your ear, or you need to have another stamp, right, that is visible to others so that they know that you're a Christian. Right? This is like saying, well, you must adopt these things in order to follow God. And as a true postmodernist, I want to be my own self. Right? This is, you know, I'm not going to follow just a group of people that are doing this. I want to be my own self. Why, God, can't you tell me then what it is to hear your spirit? Why don't you tell me what it is? And how is it that I'm to hear you? And this is the thing that I have learned so far in my life. The Spirit of God will always bring glory to the Spirit of God. Right? The Spirit of God will always bring glory and be pointing to God. Always. Always. It's not a matter of making so and so and so and so feel be great, feel good, be more popular. The Spirit of God is love, and is love shared. Love, yes, for the self, but for others as well. So this is part of the key, and we'll be working on this. This is not the last time that you're going to hear me talk about this. But this is one of the keys, is us asking God, is us prompting God into revealing God's self to us. And I think that that is an important key for us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, again, in that spirit, we'll be talking more about not only the Spirit of God, but what it is to be whole. Because that relates directly to our motivation. Hello? You hear that? A lot of the times our motivations are hidden in a need. We were talking about this, Rhonda and I, yesterday. There's all these needs that are perceived by us. And that is the one, those things that are motivating us. But getting to know God truly is the one only thing that brings us peace. So let us pray. Father, in coming back to a gathering of believers and being here in this place and being able to share some of the things that we think back about, some of our actions and what we're doing, Lord, it just makes us think. It makes us think about you and what is our referential point? What is our point of reference for our actions in the world? Paul says that we should do good. But what is good? What is good to do? We need to know from you. Because the world is inundating us with all kinds of explanations of what good is. It's veiled in the justice talk, in the social talk, in political talk, in the cultural talk. It's just veiled in so many other ways that it becomes confusing, and we need clarity in our lives. So we pray, Father, today that you may be the overwhelming clarity in our existence. that you would be the one that is speaking to our soul and feeding us all the time, so that we may learn to hear you in our walk with you. We pray these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.